This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Ayman. And our next story is going to be about the proposed draft guidelines of the short-term accommodation regulations that are going to affect those who are involved in the sharing economy. Now, this is coming after Airbnb criticized the guidelines, saying that it'll hurt local families and small-time businesses who rely on guests staying in their accommodation.
So under the proposed guidelines, there will be a 90 to 180-day limit on the number of nights an unhosted property can be rented out over a one-year period. And besides that, short-term residential accommodation or STRA platforms also have to periodically report to the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture. And this is to ensure that, you know, hosts and agents are following these nightcap requirements.
But according to Airbnb's head of public policy for Southeast Asia, Mitch Goh, these guidelines will affect local families and small businesses who rely on renting out accommodation, especially at a time when lots of hosts are struggling to make their home loan repayments and more Malaysians are predicted to default on their mortgages.
Yeah, so there are two sides to this argument, right? On one hand, I do understand the rationale behind these guidelines. There have been incidents where, you know, people sort of proliferate property just for the sake of renting out as Airbnb. And what that means is that, you know, other people miss out on owning a property or, of their own.
Or they get priced out of certain neighborhoods.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So in terms of the general public, this may help protect their interests and also protect the property market as well. And of course, when it comes to regulating Airbnb, another party that benefits are the hotels. So for example, when there is a cap on the amount of nights a property can be rented out on Airbnb, it means that for the rest of the year, tourists and other people who want to rent accommodation have to turn to hotels to find a place to stay. So hotels can benefit from this as well.
Yeah, I understand how difficult it must be, especially, and how frustrating it can be for people living in neighborhoods to suddenly be surrounded by just a bunch of tourists,
yeah,
right? Like everybody in your neighborhood doesn't really live there, isn't really a neighbor. I understand the frustration of that. With that said, though, I am also thinking about people who might have gotten into Airbnb as a side gig and then it became their main gig or whatever. People who rely on it as a source of income. And 90 to 180 days is not a lot. That's basically one quarter of the year or half. And so for the other half, the idea, so can I go to another platform? No, right? It just does not permit me to rent it out in this sort of style anymore. I'd have to rent it out as an actual rental.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's for... Oh, yes, that's right. So it's for all platforms accumulated. So
sure,
even if you're on several platforms, if it all combines to 180 days, then you've reached the limit already. But yeah, there is a good point about, like, who exactly will be targeted under these sort of like guidelines, right? Because first there are these agents or, you know, full agents that sort of own like several places and rent it out as Airbnb. But there are also, you know, small timers and small local families who, you know, rent a place out just as a side income. And these people will be severely affected by it. So I guess in terms of implementing these guidelines, what's important is to identify perhaps, I don't know if it's possible, like identifying the amount of properties they own or in terms of income and stuff like that to determine, you know, whether some groups should receive less limits in terms of the days. So some people have to abide by a higher number of caps, whereas some can abide by a lower number of caps. And that may help to sort of like be more flexible in that sense.
Maybe, because I'm also just thinking about the fact that I think for many, many people who get involved in the gig economy, these changes in regulation can be incredibly stressful. And I'm not saying that regulation isn't required for the gig economy. And we know it's pretty late in coming. In fact, the person that we're going to be speaking to later, April Rinney, is somebody who actually addressed this on our show with us, the fact that regulations just can't keep up with business. It's incredibly difficult. But I'm thinking on from the point of view of a user, it's so tough to have joined a platform when you could use it one way and then to suddenly be denied access to the way that you've been using it because regulations kicked in. And I understand that it is perhaps a necessary, you know, point of transition, but it nevertheless, I think, is a pain point.
Yeah, exactly. And I think both the users and Airbnb hosts will have to face some kind of transition period whereby they try to get used to these new regulations if they are put in place. But it is necessary to regulate an industry that has so far been able to operate more or less freely. And in terms of, like, you know, national revenues, for example, people have taken advantage by, you know, participating in Airbnb without having to pay the kind of taxes that hotels have been paying all this while. So there is an importance to introducing these guidelines in terms of how Airbnb users and hosts will adapt. It will take time for them to sort of like get used to it.
So we're going to be speaking after this with April Rinney, international advisor and founder of the Sharing Economy Working Group at the World Economic Forum. If you have any thoughts, you can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Hello, you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Ayman, and we're talking today about new regulations that have been proposed. They're draft guidelines, rather, for the short-term accommodation regulations, and we're just kind of circling around who it's going to affect, how it's going to affect the regulations overall. And to do that with us, we are going to cross over now to April Rinney on Skype. She is an independent advisor focused on the sharing economy. We previously did speak to her on this very topic. April, it's good hearing from you again. What are your thoughts on the nightcap?
So for a little bit of context, caps on short-term rentals are increasingly common in cities and countries around the world. Obviously, no two places are the same. Each place has different needs. But increasingly, we see a clear need to regulate the supply of housing available for local residents vis-a-vis the desire to engage in short-term rentals for tourists, visitors, and others.
And how have other countries and cities gone about implementing this kind of policy?
Now, I would say in my experience, and I've been to more than 100 countries, I've worked in more than 50 on every continent except for Antarctica, I would say that today the general range of places that are implementing caps is somewhere between 90 and 180 days. Sometimes you've seen some cities such as Amsterdam go as low as 30 days or 60 days. And then I should also say that pretty much everywhere does not implement a cap on your primary residence when the host is present. So if you're a host and you are sharing or renting out a room in your home while you're there, there's no limit typically to doing so because you're not taking housing off the local property market.
So what impact does the cap usually have?
The impact that caps typically have are they get people off the platforms who are intending to engage in this kind of activity on a full-time basis. That is to say, people who wanted to engage in short-term rentals of places they're not living in and aren't their primary residence and do so as a full-time profession. So depending on who you are and what your goals are, this may be a good thing or a bad thing. You do want to preserve housing stock for locals. At the same time, you do want to enable people to earn income in new ways and more ways. So in that regard, not surprisingly, the people who benefit most from being on Airbnb are those people who can earn income through the platform, clearly. And there's both supply and demand. So people who can earn income, those would be hosts, and anyone related to people who are earning income through hosting, that is to say, house cleaners or servicers or people who might take responsibility for dropping off keys or cleaning properties or maintenance, that sort of thing, they definitely benefit from being on Airbnb, but most of all, the hosts. And also, of course, travelers who can now travel in different ways. So there are both supply side and demand side benefits from being on Airbnb. But I think what we're trying to go for here and what cities around the world are struggling with is how to balance that activity with the need to preserve local neighborhoods, to preserve a sense of community and neighborliness amongst people who live in these cities year round. So that's not unique to Malaysia. That's not unique to Kuala Lumpur or any other particular city. This is something that cities and countries around the world are dealing with.
But are there things that are unique to Malaysia that might affect how well this policy works?
Now, one thing that is quite interesting or in some ways unique about Malaysia is that a lot of places in the world are struggling with undersupply of homes, meaning that they are increasingly concerned that short-term rental platforms may take a material amount of housing off the property market such that locals don't have access to housing or affordable housing, you could say, because often you can earn more income doing short-term rentals than you could earn if you were to rent on a long-term basis to a local resident. So this is where it gets tricky for Malaysia, especially tricky, because on the one hand, you don't have an undersupply of housing for locals in at least some of the cities in Malaysia. So in that regard, a cap may make less sense. At the same time, you don't want to allow this activity to continue unfettered. So you do want some limitations and some regulations in place, of which a nightly cap may be appropriate. I would suggest that what you really want to look at is at the local level, meaning at the city level. So not nationwide, but at the city level. Where are those places that do have issues with access to housing and access to affordable housing? In those places, you're more likely going to want a nightly cap. If there are places where there is no issue about locals getting access to affordable housing, then in those places, the case for not having a nightly cap is somewhat stronger, or having a higher nightly cap, perhaps, say, 180 days as opposed to 90. But this is really an issue that plays out locally at the city and municipal level, and where sometimes having a national cap can be difficult to justify and or to implement because city needs are quite different. And this is where we really start to see that so much of the sharing economy really hits at that local level.
Okay, so what are the alternatives then? I mean, what other policies could we be looking at?
Cities and countries around the world are regulating short-term rentals, including Airbnb, but many others, in lots of different ways. And the main buckets or themes that they typically regulate do include limitations on use, so that means nightly caps, limiting the number of days or nights that you can engage in this. Some places have tried to implement limits on the amount of income that you can earn. Those have generally been unsuccessful because people will try to hide the income somewhere else. You also see lots of regulations or lots of places implementing host registration requirements. So you must complete and submit a host registration certificate with the local authorities, and only registered hosts should be authorized to participate on Airbnb. That gets a little bit tricky. It's generally a good idea, but enforcement is often difficult. I'll get to that in a minute, because Airbnb itself doesn't have the ability to enforce that other than often removing hosts from platforms, which it's quite loath to do. You also have typically regulations around taxation, and that includes both income tax as well as, depending on the place, different types of tourist tax and so forth. And then you have a range of partnerships that cities and countries are undertaking from time to time, particularly around big events. So as you probably know, the Olympics, the World Cup, events like that are real boons for Airbnb, for hosts, and for the locations where they take place, because big events need large amounts of accommodation inventory quite quickly, and then that need goes away quite quickly after the event. So Airbnb's ability and other short-term rental platforms' ability to expand and collapse inventory quickly is really helpful for municipalities. So you'll often find partnerships as well.
You know, a while ago, we were talking about that balance on how to stimulate growth but also get a grip on regulation. What do you think is the balance here?
So new rules often make a lot of sense, but they are only as good as your ability to enforce. And I can't underscore enough that if you're going to pass new rules, you have to be prepared to enforce them. That means you have to have the resources. I mean, the time, the talent, the budgets, all of that really set up and ready to effectively implement. This is not something that you can expect for hosts and Airbnb to simply do. Sometimes you have people who don't wish to comply. Oftentimes you have people who do wish to comply but don't know what to do. And often aren't even aware of the rules. So this is a real concerted effort, and I can't say strongly enough, this requires investment of new resources. This requires new budgets, new staff. This isn't something you ask your current staff to just add to what they're already doing. This is full-time responsibility for a team of people, as well as new technologies, as well as, you know, integration and collaboration with other colleagues in other departments, such as taxation, perhaps the police, or those people who are involved with registrations and certifications and that sort of thing.
April, thank you for those thoughts. That was April Rinney, an independent advisor focused on the sharing economy. If you have thoughts about short-term accommodation regulations, if it's going to affect you, then you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.